your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, sitting here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
This is a lovely day. There's no tornadoes. There's no warnings happening. We have had a week.
Well, you had a week. I went to see my friends in Florida.
You're in Florida.
So I had a very nice week. I was only there 3 days, but I'll tell you what, it was in the 80s each day and got down to the low 60s at night, and they live on the water, and I could sit out in their backyard all the time and look at the birds. They have so many birds. Have you ever seen a rosette spoonbill?
I cannot say
it's
that
a great
I have.
Big bird, but it is so pink. It's a very pink bird flying around there. They have a pair of them out there.
I probably have seen one in Florida. I lived there for about 4 years. And but oh, I don't
you would
know
have remembered it.
Birds.
This is a pretty spectacular bird. It's big bird. Big bird.
So, Becky, who is our guest this morning?
We have Curtis Hale from Hale Survey. H-A-L-E. I'll say that. It almost sounds like I'm saying it bad, because like it's hail that comes from the sky because of my
bad word.
Okie twang, right?
H-A-I-L.
Well, no, that's what comes from the
word.
That's the bad word
in Oklahoma.
Bad
word in Oklahoma.
But Curtis is H-A-L-E, in case you're looking him up. Mark, you're going to need to check that to see if he's on our favorites. But I feel real sure that Curtis is on our favorite list.
I hope so.
If you're not, you're going to be. We have a little page on our website that says Becky's favorites. Mm. And nobody pays to be there. Everybody that is there has earned their way on there. So it's just people I've worked with for decades. And you're one of those folks. Mm. Anytime we need survey or a customer needs a survey, you're the guy we call. And the thing I thought we would start with is, what's the difference in a survey and a mortgage inspection report?
Mortgage inspection report is what's issued for closing purposes with a title company. And what we do is we go out there and measure up all the improvements and show them that they're contained within the legal description that it calls for. And we do not set property corners. We may locate some property corners, but it's not indicated on the drawing, and it very plainly states that it is not a boundary survey and not to be accepted as a boundary survey. A boundary survey, you get all four corners or all the corners of your property either found or reestablished, and it is called a plat of survey, and it'll note, you know, distances from the house to the property line, whereas a mortgage inspection just shows that the house is contained within the property line, just so that the mortgage company, if they ever do have to foreclose on the property, they know that they have a viable property to foreclose on, and there's no encroachments.
Well, and I will tell you, back in the 80s, that we had some fraud going on here in the metro, and some people went to prison over it, but they had some people, some surveyors evidently, or someone pretending to be a surveyor, who would identify a house on a property and do the drawing up of it, and someone would go get a mortgage on this. And the mortgage company, the appraiser, the surveyor, the realtor, everybody was kind of in cahoots. And they took out mortgages on houses that were not on the properties.
Hmm.
And there was kind of a big-time realtor that who went to federal prison over it. There were some appraisers, and I don't know about. I haven't heard of a surveyor going.
Now, there'd have to be a lot of people in cahoots about, you know, to make something work like that.
They did it, and it. I mean, you would think it'd be all like a TV show, like, but it was definitely a fraudulent thing. That's one of the reasons why a mortgage company requires what's called, it used to be called a mortgage inspection certificate, and now it's called a report, right? Okay.
Right.
So it identifies that there is, what structures are located on the property, if any, and where the where it's located, like in maybe in a neighborhood. I mean, you know, the coordinates are kind of set out there as to, well, I guess you're given that, aren't you?
Well, yeah, we're given the legal description, and it's shown based on the legal description of the property, which within a metropolitan area, it could be a lot and block of a Quail Creek, you know, subdivision, name of the subdivision.
Yeah, and then you identify drainage easements.
Utility easements, all easements that are contained within Schedule B of the items of the title policy. They call out, set out any easements that's been filed within that quarter section, and we examine them, trace them out, and see if they go across the property, if it's a meets and bounds legal, or what a lot of people will refer to as a farm legal. And it's not planted within a subdivision. A lot of those easements are just described out, and we plot them out and certify that they do or do not affect the property. And if they do, how they affect, unless it's a blanket right of way. And whereas then it just takes in that whole quarter section. So it's not defined as to. And they're not allowed to take those kind of easements anymore. But the pipeline companies, way back when they were developing a quarter section, they'd just get a blanket right away, and they could run their pipelines anywhere through there as a gathering system from all the well sites that they had within that quarter. And so back then they were just dealing with the farmer. And they just got a blanket right away. But now it has to be defined.
Within some boundaries.
Right.
And you set those boundaries on the mortgage inspection report.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You also do the property setback lines. How far from the road or the property?
Yeah, it's defined on there. That's just only in platted additions. They have setback front building lines, and some of them are side building lines, and in Nichols Hills, they even have a rear setback.
So there's a lot that's on that little mortgage inspection report. We're going to talk about the cost of it and why you would want a mortgage inspection report instead of a survey, or vice versa.
When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It's time to talk to our money man.
NMLS number 196895.
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing this morning, Dean?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Tell us, Dean, what's happening in the market this week?
You know, we've seen a little stability rate-wise. I mean, it's the trend, as we know, is going up and has for the last 90, 100 days. But at least it leveled off a little bit. Still projected rates to continue to kind of inch up between now and year end, you know. But we remind people every day, you know, there's nothing wrong with a 5.5%, 6% rate. You know, honestly, looking back, it's the highest it's been now since 2008, which is still, I mean, those were banner years. So it's all how you perceive it, but 6% is not a bad number.
Yeah, if you take the short-term view, rates are up. If you take the long-term view, rates are still great.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
And so it pinches the borrowing, you know, power or buying power for some first time buyers. I mean, it makes the math move. It really does. But all in all, I mean, there's still that pendulum still swings heavy towards there's nothing wrong with 5.5%, 6%, 6.5%. Still a great time to buy a house.
But when you say the buying power, I mean, there's a lot less buying power at 5.5% than there was at 2.75.
Yeah, I ran some numbers the other day, Becky. It was like three and a quarter percent environment. Someone who's buying a $500,000 house, you know, it drops about 10% for every, or 10% of buying power for every percent in rate. So if you're in a 6% world, there's a 3% difference that drops that buying power 30%. So it changes it. $500,000 buyer to a $350,000.
Well, and that's
so it makes the math move
for sure. Thank you, Dean.
If you want to get a hold,
guys,
of,
thank you.
If you want to get a hold of Dean Riddell, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites, and Dean Riddell and Matt McLean will be right there, or you can give him a call at 405-858-7770. That's 405-858-7770.
Okay, we're here with Curtis Hale from Hale Survey, and we are talking about the different types of surveys that we can get. And there's the ALTA survey, the mortgage inspection report, and what was the third one? The
Plat of survey.
Plat of survey. So what's an ALTA survey?
An ALTA survey is a land title association requirements. It's their association that, and with the help of the surveyor, they've come up with minimum standards by which the surveyor follows, depending on what the buyer is wanting to achieve. If they're wanting to buy a building, and it's mostly for commercial sales, and if they want to buy and make sure that there are absolutely no encroachments of the building on utility easements, property lines, things of that nature. There's a full-blown boundary survey where all the corners are monumented and fences are noted, any type of an encroachment from next door within 5 feet of the property is picked up and noted. And if there's utility easements, how they're serving the property, if they're wanting to expand and use the property in another way, then there might be a topo or a topographic survey that they'll have utilities flagged up, and all of them will be marked and shown on the survey. There's a list of requirements that you check off depending on what all you want. And of course, the cost of that survey goes up accordingly to the requirements that you're wanting.
Well, it's not just time, but it's expertise of knowing how to do that survey. I know I had to order an ALTA survey for a commercial building that we are building, and it's expensive.
Yeah,
to do that.
There's a big study done on certifying the legal description, knowing that it's fee simple, absolute, clear of any encumbrances or any violations that would overlap or have gaps of adjoining legals, and then the surveyor certifies to that he's done his research, and he assuredly, at least on paper, that there are no gaps or overlaps of title. There may be some that will show up physically on the ground, depending on markers within the area and how what monuments are still in existence of when those legals were drafted originally.
So there's quite a lot to it. If you want to be a part of the conversation,
you can give us a call at 840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. And we have a caller, Mark, on the line. Go ahead, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Yes. Good morning, Becky. How are you this morning?
Doing awesome today.
Oh, okay. I was going to let you know, you mentioned that guy that did the houses deal and went to federal prison.
Oh, back in the 80s, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew him. And he did well, even after he got out of prison. He's still a multimillionaire today. But one thing for you here. There, at one time, there was a real estate convention, a landlord convention in Oklahoma City, and he was a guest speaker. And, I, of course, I had to go hear him because I knew him from actually back in high school. But he talked about, you know, the ups and downs of real estate business, and he finally got around to that. He mentioned his 2.5 years in federal pen. The whole audience just gasped when he said that.
Hey,
so he went out to El Reno out there, and that it wasn't too bad. He got out on the weekend and spent weeks in the place, and then next thing you know, he's back out in real estate, reeling and dealing, which he is today. So,
well,
it all worked out.
Well,
well, I got a new plan in life.
Yeah, that worked out for somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Mark.
I knew him from back in the day. So
okay, well, thank you for calling in.
Have a good day, Becky.
Okay, and Curtis Hale. Okay, so tell us about gaps and overlaps in legal descriptions. I mean, gaps are something that most people don't know exist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they come about when people are parceling property up and they have a description of their parcel, and then they sell off certain portions of that, and then they're left with the remainder. And if they had never had that surveyed and they just went on their own description of that, however they described what they sell off, that's what they sold off. Now, if they own less or more, they can't sell any more than what they've already deeded off. If they have more, they may sell off what they thought they had, but there's actually a little gap between them and the adjoiner, all because they didn't have it surveyed.
Yeah, there are little slivers of land all over that don't really have an owner, right?
That's right.
So you don't know where they are.
Well, if a survey determines where they are, you can take title to it by adverse possession.
Okay. Now that's...
And you have to post it. It's not really adverse possession, but you can quit claim it. Adverse possession requires a minimum of 15 years. Of taking ownership and
quiet, peaceful possession and maintaining the property, right?
Well, it's not quiet. It's got about being notorious. I mean, you got to notify the people. It's hostile if it's by adverse possession. But now, if it's quick claim deed, then you can get a legal description of it, post it, and after a certain amount of time, and there's no one that objects to it, then you become title to that title.
Yeah. And they're usually little slivers of land, aren't they, between between parcels that are owned by folks that just did not, by survey, get included into a legal description.
Right.
So they're just little no man's lands out there.
Yeah.
And they're not usually very big, are they?
Not usually, but there have been.
Have been some big ones?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What do you do when the legal description, say you have a building on what you think is your land, but you've built onto your neighbor's land?
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
Well, then you're liable to be sued and have to pay the neighbor the value of that land value. If it's an old building that's been there for 50 years and there's been a chain of sales that has continued and you can prove that it's been there for 50 years, the court is probably going to judge that that's the property line, the building, the limits of that building is the property line.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And that's by adverse possession that they rule on.
Which a lot of people call squatters' rights, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it goes way back to that time period.
It does. I know mm-hmm. that I had an aunt and uncle, now deceased, so I can talk about it, who lived on this property down in, well, I'll just call it the Flats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
10 Mile Flats.
Uh-huh. Gander Flats. And they lived there for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to claim adverse possession because they heard that the owner of the land was coming back into Oklahoma. So they got people to swear that they had been there 15 years. And I thought, how awful. It just is like you're stealing mm-hmm. someone's property. But yeah. that's the way the law's written, isn't it?
Yeah. You can do that against anyone but the government.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We teach you how to cheat in real estate, evidently, here yeah. on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, with Becky Ivins and our guest, Curtis Hale of Hale Surveyor, and we are in time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. You can give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Easement.
Easement.
So, Curtis, what's an easement? I could read a definition to you, but I'm not sure I even know how to say the word. An easement is a non-possessory right to use and or enter into a property that you don't own.
Yeah, that's a good description of it.
Okay.
The utilities have a right to enter and make repairs of any utilities that they have within that easement, but they don't own the property. They have rights to it, but the people have full ownership of that.
You know, we find that sometimes when someone, they've got 10 acres, and it's a long, skinny piece of land, and they don't want to divide it into two skinnier pieces of land.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to give access to the back property, you know, from the mm-hmm. road.
Yeah.
So they divide it in half, but then you can't landlock a property. You got to have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they create an easement mm-hmm. for the new person that buys that back lot to be able to get to it.
Yeah. If they retain that, they acquire an access easement. If they sell the front part, then they've got legal rights to cross what they've sold to have access to the property that they have, or vice versa.
Okay. So easement. Do we have a caller, Mike? Okay.
We have Chad on the line. Good morning, Chad.
Hi, Mr. Hale. It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there's a statutory easement along section lines and maybe even mile, each mile. Is that correct?
Yeah, along every section line, there's a statutory right-of-way easement that's been dedicated by the government.
And so do you happen to know if that easement went through such a valley that it would require so much dirt to build a roadway up that footprint of that, increase in earth would necessarily have to extend onto adjoining land for subadjacent and lateral support? then is that implied in that, or does that land have to be bought from the owner?
It has to be purchased from the owner.
Okay.
Oh, now Curtis, put that in language that all of us can understand, because I've been in real estate a long time and I did not follow that.
Okay. Well, it's road work that goes beyond the statutory limits of the original right of way, which in Oklahoma County is 33 foot either side of the section line. Now, if they go in and design the road and have to raise it up to embank it, and the slope of that road goes beyond the 33 foot, then the state has to acquire that additional right of way, or they can take it as an easement to infringe and encroach on the people.
You know, we owned a wedding chapel up in Edmond on Western Avenue, and about 155th and Western, and we didn't have a choice. They just came and took the front part of the lot because they were widening the roadway there. And there was a ditch, and they had to do a lot of stuff to it. But, of course, we were not real happy that they did not fix our sprinkler system after they did that. But maybe they would have gotten around to that had I been patient, but I needed it to look good all the time, so I just had to do it myself. But you don't get a choice in whether or not they're going to take road easement, do you?
No. So eminent domain, they can claim it if they can prove that it's required by the public to have that improvement. And they should have fixed your sprinkler system, but
They probably would have had I waited long enough. But you know, like I said, we needed it to look good all the time, so we didn't wait on them. So did that kind of answer your question, Chad?
It did, and it also let me know the 66 foot width, and I was grateful for that. Thank you, Mr. Hale.
Yeah, you're welcome.
A lot of people say that's from the center of the road, but sometimes it's really not the center of the road, is it?
Well, it's the center of the
section line.
The section line, the road may not follow that section line. The physical center line of the road may not follow. Most of the time it does, but there's a lot of times it won't. It may be off maybe 20, 30 feet in some places.
Yeah, I mean, kind of going with the topography of the land, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the way it was surveyed and then reestablished.
right.
And a lot of times they meandered those roads to avoid creeks and other structures, and so it didn't quite follow the exact section line of the section.
Yeah. You helped me with something, and we talked about this a week or two ago about over on Hogback Road where the river had moved, and these people had owned this property forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, since it was Indian territory.
Yeah.
And one side of the road, you know, one family still owns it since then, and the other, not the road, but the river. And they were wanting to purchase that 120 acres, but turns out it was 43 acres of actual land because the river changed its
avulsion. Yeah, it changes its
boundaries.
Yeah. If it's a Christian, you can, if it's done real quickly in one rain, then you can still contain that. But if it's gradual, you lose it.
Yeah.
To the other side.
Well, I guess this was over more than 100 years.
So. Yeah, if they gradually done, they'd lost it.
And the other side didn't really even want it, but they got it.
Yeah.
They just.
That's where it is. Yeah.
So, okay.
So, what is the biggest conflict that happens when you're doing survey? What's the most common conflict in doing surveying?
Well, I guess the most common is that people just don't know where their property's at until they get a survey. They didn't realize that they own that much or that less, and until it's been, you know, professionally surveyed, they're just not aware of exactly where their property line's at. And this time of year is when we get more requests for boundary surveys than any other time of year, because this is when they want to start building something on the property that they have, or put up fences, or, you know, the spring is the time for nesting and starting stuff.
Well, and property turnover.
Yeah.
In the spring and early summer, there's a lot more property changes hands.
Mm-hmm.
And now what do you do? You use a transit still?
No, we've gotten more sophisticated.
Okay. But do you have to have a clear sight line? If you don't have a clear sight line from one point to the next,
not necessarily now. With the GPS, yeah. You still have the canopy of trees. Uh-huh. You can go from one side to the other side and put some points online and kind of establish where that line's at and not have to have clear sight.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know that this has been years ago, but you
years
did
ago,
some...
Years ago, I used to have to use chainsaw and clear it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You did one for my brother on some acreage out of Choctaw and cleared. Of course, he did his own clearing before you got there because he didn't want to pay for you to clear his land.
Yeah. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I figure you don't either. Yeah, and that way he kind of kept the trees he wanted and, kind of cleared out the underbrush and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, what is the, do you ever have to go back when someone protests something? Like on a survey, or is it pretty well, it's just?
A lot of times, people won't protest it, but if they do, they don't remember it being there, or for some reason they don't think that's right, they can hire an independent surveyor to go out and resurvey it. And if it comes to be in the same line, then that's pretty much it. If it's if it comes off to being a little bit different, then surveyors hopefully will get together and resolve it so it doesn't have to go to court. But it can go to court.
So
and be settled.
Who is your typical customer? Who hires you?
If it comes to that point, it's usually an attorney.
Okay. Or do title companies hire you?
Not generally. Title companies are mostly involved in sales. And they may be asked or request by a former buyer that closed with a title company and get a recommendation as to what surveyor they could use to do a boundary survey. And that's their only involvement. But it'd be individuals. And then after the individual has it surveyed, then the other people want to object to it and they get their survey made. Then they may want to get an attorney involved and settle the discrepancy.
Okay.
If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. When we come back, we're going to come back with your smoking hot deal right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It's time for our smoking hot deal. Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh, hot Mexican food. We had a team lunch this week.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was wonderful.
Yeah, we had it kind of late, Cinco de Mayo.
Yep, it was great. So all the team got there, and I had to run by the office to do, to write an offer real quick. And then I got to the Mexican. I was the last one to Casa Perico, and sitting there at my table was the fish and shrimp soup that you had ordered for me because you knew it was my favorite.
I know.
I felt loved in that moment.
I will tell you something. That is one. If you've not had the fish and shrimp soup at Casa Perico, you need to order it before it gets too hot.
Oh, my gosh.
Outside, because then you don't want – then you want the – cold margarita or something.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I've had that type of soup in many, many different Mexican restaurants. And by far, Casa Perico is the top shelf with it.
Yeah.
So
delicious.
Yep. Our smoking hot deal brought to you by Casa Perico. Our smoking hot deal is located in Newcastle. So if you are a family member or a friend is looking for something in Newcastle, perk up your ears. Here it is.
It's in Bradford Place in Newcastle,
it's
right?
It's in Bradford Place Edition. It's a 3-bed, 2-bath, just over 1,700 square feet, built in 2018.
So it's practically new.
It's lovely. It's lovely. It's in a cul-de-sac. So if you're looking for something that's kind of, you know, you're not going to have drive-by traffic.
It has a two-car garage, right?
It does. It has a two-car garage.
Let me guess on the price. $270.
Okay. You nailed it. $269.9. Okay. You're off by $100.
Oh, man. It's worth that extra $100. It's a pretty, pretty house.
You can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings, and you can take a virtual tour through it. It's an amazing technology. You can just virtually walk through it step by step. Sandra, who processes our home, does an amazing job. And so take a look at that. Go to BeckyIvins.com. So that is our smoking hot deal brought to you by Casa Perico.
Okay. Now, we're here with Curtis Hale from Hale Survey, and we've got a caller with question.
We got John on the line. Go ahead, John.
Good morning, Becky. Thank you for your show, and I appreciate Mr. Hale taking time out of his busy schedule to come out and help us.
I want to tell you, he's a good man. He came out and helped us identify a pipe under a pool we're putting in.
Oh, wow. That could be kind of an expensive deal, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Hale, I have a question about the differences in fences and survey boundaries. I own a piece of property that was gifted to me. The man that had it before me had a survey done and rebuilt a fence. One of the boundary fences was set back on our property about 20 feet. But when he surveyed and built corners, because he redid a fence on one side, he set new corner posts at the corner of the property and then stretched the fence along that side back to where the perpendicular fence was and then went on. New neighbor bought the place next to us, and I wasn't even aware that at the time that that's where the fence was not at the surveyed boundary. They built a gate and a fence over to where the fence that's over on our property, built their gate over onto that. And they're claiming that because the fence has been there for so long, even though they haven't had it long enough to either claim adverse possession or squatter's rights, they claim that that's where the property line is at. But I have since have it surveyed to show that it's not. What do I need to do to keep them from claiming that as adverse possession?
Well, you'll probably have to end up taking it to court and have them decide. How long have the people been there?
It hasn't been years, but it's been discussed back and forth several times about what we're going to do about it.
If they want to take it by adverse possession, there's a lot of requirements that have to be met. And one of the requirements is that it has to be continuous, and that when one person sells to another person, that stops. And then that person has to continue for another 15 years to take it by adverse possession, and it needs to be known, and it has to be hostile. They have to notify you that they're taking it by adverse possession. So there's you'll need to talk to an attorney and see what those requirements are. There's a whole list of them, and see if all of those have been met for this particular neighbor.
I can give you the name and number of a really good attorney for something like this. Ron Shalhout, and it's S-C-H-A-U-L-A-T. S-C-H-A-U-L-A-T, Ron Shalhout, and his phone number is 405-528-2890.
What was that number again,
please? It is 405-528-2890.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your help this morning.
Yeah, because it's more than just someone saying they're going to do it. It actually takes a court action to make it happen and to legally get the deed to it, right? Yeah.
You can also find Ron Shalott's number at Becky's Favorites. You can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and he is right there on the left.
He's one of these guys that is just...
He's fantastic.
He's so smart.
Yeah.
And diligent and reasonable.
I want to package together the Ron Shalott podcast series when every time that he's on our show. So that's like it's in a little package.
Oh, that would be a good idea. Yeah. So, yeah, he's fantastic. Very knowledgeable. He's not going to say something unless he really knows it. So, and he knows most of it. So, okay. What, of another, thing on survey, why do people get surveys other than fences?
If they want to make improvements on the property, if they don't have anything on it, and they want to build, they need to know where the limits are that they can build, and if there's any setback requirements, if it's within a community, they'll have to get a building permit and get it inspected by whatever community they're within, and they may have requirements that have to be met, that you have to have a certain setback from any structures that you put in, and then you'll have to have a plan drawing submit to them for approval, and you'll need to know the limits of your boundary lines in order to prepare that. A surveyor can do all that for you.
Well, and I'll tell you a horror story, and this one, we wrote a contract on it. This has been maybe 10 years ago, but wrote an offer, got a contract accepted on a property out like Piedmont Way. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly where it was, but it was county land as opposed to city. Mm-hmm. Acreage, like 10 acres. Mm-hmm. And the owners decided to build on a master bedroom, a nice luxury master bedroom on the back. They're on an acreage, so they had all the land in the world they needed to do this. So they just built it on. And it was beautiful, and then it went on the market, and then the surveyor came. And there was a gas line right under that added-on bedroom because they did not have a survey of that prior to doing it. That had to be removed. They did the gas company would not vacate their easement.
That may not be the a problem by the surveyor though, because the surveyor needs to know, you know, what your intentions are, and then you need to have Oki One come out and
flag it up.
Oh, they didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
So as it turned out, but that we never did close on that transaction for sure.
Curtis Hale from Hale and Associates Survey Company, thank you so much for being with us. If you want to share this, you can. We upload this as a podcast every Monday on iHeartMedia app or iTunes or anywhere else that you subscribe to a podcast. We'll be back next week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
News Radio 1000 KTOK AM and KXXY FM 96.1 HD2, Oklahoma City.